Merħba għal-program Minajnejn Barrani, fejn jiena Khaled Fitz niltaqa u niddiskuti pajjiżna ma' diversi persuni ta' nazzjonalitajiet differenti li għal xi raġuni u oħra għamlu lill-Malta id-dar tagħhom. Il-programm jixxandar kulnar ta' tlieta fit-tminja ta' filgħaxija b'repetizzjoni l-ħamis fl-10 ta' filgħodu, kif ukoll jinstab fuq is-sit elettroniku ta' Campus FM. My guest on Minajnejn Barrani, Malta Through Foreign Eyes, in the program today is Anastasia Lesnikova from Moscow, Russia, who has been in Malta for 15 years, and obviously will have a lot to say about her life here in Malta.
I have been in Malta for 15 years, and for the most of the time I have been working in tourism industry in Malta. However, for the last years, I also publish a Russian magazine over here, free Russian magazine for the community, and I take part in the voluntary organization which we organized for the Russian-speaking residents in Malta.
Right. So what I usually do at the beginning of the program is get my guests to talk a little bit about their original home. Their home now is Malta, but they were brought up in another country. In your case, Moscow, Russia. So could you tell us a little bit about your childhood, about how you grew up, keeping in mind the life in Malta and how different or similar it is to life in Russia?
Actually, speaking about my childhood in Russia, I still managed to get some years during Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. And I was a pioneer, and I read the books about Lenin, and it was like part of our school program, and we were very, very intensively learning these things.
May I ask you, when you say you were a pioneer, is this some sort of outside school organization that children would join as part of the Soviet Party or Communist Party?
Yes, exactly. It was a structure when you, as a child, you become an oktyabrionok. It means if you study well and you behave well at school, you get this privilege to become a young oktyabrionok. Then you, when you become a teenager, you get this privilege to become a pioneer. And then slowly, slowly, you can become a communist, part of the communistic party. But for us, it was a lot of fun because it was not only about school activities; it was about different types of volunteering. We had very many interesting things to do.
And could you tell me a little bit about the education system? Was it good? Was it not so good when you were young, when you were growing up? And also, if you know anything about it now, whether it's changed?
In my opinion, the system of education in Soviet Union, it was very stable and quite good. Education was free, and now it is free up to a certain level. I think with the years, it changes a little bit. And nowadays, people are saying that it's more poor than it used to be before. Because I know that people with technical diplomas from Russia are accepted all around the world, and usually they are very welcome in many organizations.
Mm-hmm. What did you study?
I used to study mathematics, and I'm engineer mathematician by my first education. Mm-hmm. And however, the period of my studying in Russia was after Perestroika, and I didn't have much chance to work by my education. Also,
Perestroika was around 91-90, so you spent about 10 years in Russia before you came to Malta in 2000. That was the period, sort of the first 10 years after almost 100 years of communism and a certain system. So that change must have been very big.
Yes, this change it was dramatic for the country, because for all the generations, like for example, for people like my parents who lived most of their life during the Soviet Union period, it was very traumatic because they were losing stability, they were losing jobs, they lost all their funds which were kept at the Russian bank, and it was a disaster actually for the older generation. For younger generation, it was like a wave of freedom in a way, because it was an opportunity to start your own business, maybe to start going abroad if you want to see the world. There were certain advantages in that period of time. However, it was very hard. I remember these years, they were, I think, the hardest years in my life.
In fact, I want to ask you, as a neutral observer, from your point of view and your parents and your family, for us Westerners, obviously up till 1991, the Soviet Union was a little bit of a strange, faraway place. Also, we were afraid of it. It was our enemy up to a certain point, although Malta was neutral, but we always consider ourselves to be mostly tilting to the West. And then after 91, Mikhail Gorbachev, Perestroika, Russia opened up, we became friends, Russians started traveling around the world, and to us it was like, the Cold War is over, so Russia is our friend, and Russia is a modern democratic country. Again, up to a point. But for a Russian person, the average Russian person, such as yourself, was life better under communism? How do you compare? What are your memories?
I can say that during the Soviet Union time, what I remember and what I know from my family and friends as well, the best thing was like a guarantee what you're going to have in the future. It was very stable. People knew that when they go to university, then definitely they will have job. When they have job, definitely they will have an opportunity to get property for free. And they get free medicine. They get free education for children. So that was the good part of the Soviet Union. The bad part, what I can say in my experience, was too much political pressure on everything. Like, for example, my mother, she is a German teacher, and she used to prepare, she decorated the classroom where she used to work with the portraits of famous German people, with composers, poets, and she was always asked why she doesn't put, for example, a portrait of Brezhnev, of the of the general secretary of Russian party, and she said because Brezhnev has nothing to do with Germany, and that is the German class, and she had some complications at work because she didn't want to follow such regulations. Another thing not very good, which I can remember from my childhood, it was that it was quite hard to get some things in the shops, you know, so practically you have to hunt for things like salami or good cheese or things like that.
And then there was Perestroika, and we heard that for at least 10 years under the Yeltsin years, first of all, there was the transition. It was hard, as you said, for people like your parents. Every transition, every change is hard. But there were queues for food and people losing their jobs. How long did that take to calm down and for things to become more settled and life to become better in Russia?
I think the hardest period was not very long. It was about maybe 4 or 5 years. However, all the 90s, in my opinion, what was worst about that period of time, that it was very unsafe place. Because we didn't trust militia, we didn't trust politicians, because you wake up and you don't know what to expect from the country. But being young, still, of course, for me, it was a nice period of my life, because I had a lot of fun. I was studying, I had my years at university, it was my first job experience, so it was, for me personally, it was a good time.
And what is life like in Russia now in general? Is it more stable? I mean, there are elections every 5 years. Okay, here, outside of Russia, we hear sometimes things against Vladimir Putin because he's very controlling. It is said he controls all the television stations and all the newspapers, so it's a little bit like the Soviet days, that criticism is not encouraged, perhaps. This is what we hear. But also, sometimes Putin is a bit of a hero to some people in the West because he seems determined. In Syria, he seems to have made some progress against ISIS when maybe the Americans or the British were always talking but not doing anything. These are different points of view. What is life like in Russia now, in your opinion?
I think that during last 10 years, maybe 10 or even 15, the life became much more better in the way of economical stability. Because when I'm looking at the retired people who are getting pension, it's much more better at the moment. There is a support for young mothers, for children, like, for example, there is a program when if a family has two children, they get an equivalent of about, I think, around $10,000 to $15,000, dollars, something like that, mm-hmm. just a support. Mm-hmm. So, in a way, I think that causes the general position towards Putin, because actually he has been re-elected, and most of Russians, they support the policy of Putin, because by his actions, the life in Russia itself, in Russia for Russians, becomes better. And about, I would say, about system of control, since I work in the media industry, mm-hmm. I have been to certain meetings with different journalists all around. I wouldn't say that it's so much controlling, no. There is always an opportunity to write what you think.
So sometimes the Western point of view or the Western writings about Russia are a little one-sided. Just to conclude on this look at Soviet Russia and Russia today, occasionally you still hear some people, perhaps elderly people, say, oh, life was better in the old days when we had the stable communist system. From your point of view, someone who's lived in both eras, what would you say?
No, I think life is definitely better now. At the moment, it's a very good atmosphere in Russia. I'm seeing Moscow. I don't travel much around, so unfortunately, I can't compare life in small villages, because people are saying that still in some villages it's much more complicated for people, even economically. But life in Moscow is very well developed, I would say. It's at the moment it looks like a Western capital. It's very busy. People are getting jobs easily, so I think it's very stable.
So there are plenty of opportunities. You hear sometimes people talk about crime and Russian mafia.
I think that crime and mafia, they exist in any country. Comparing to the 90s, when you could easily be robbed on the street, now it's very safe, very, very safe. Of course it exists, and corruption and bureaucracy, all these things exist up to a certain level. It's just a way whether you are getting it. But with regards to mafia, I think at the moment it's much more safe than it was 10 years ago.
And that point you mentioned about the villages, because I wanted to talk a little bit about that, because Russia is a huge, huge country. We hear a lot and talk a lot about Moscow, St. Petersburg, the European part of Russia. When you look on the map, part of Russia is actually in Europe. But then there's a huge part going all the way to Vladivostok and Siberia that is not something we here in the West and here in Malta hear much about. As a person from Moscow, do you know much about the other parts of Russia? I mean, did you experience people? Do you meet people from there?
Yes, of course. I had an opportunity to travel around Russia, and I have been to several parts of Russia. And I can say that it's a bit funny, because for foreigners, when you talk about Russians, sometimes it's very hard to imagine that people from different parts of Russia, they look differently. They speak in a different dialect. They have different traditions, you know. So it's sometimes you compare two Russians from different parts of Russia, and you won't even imagine that they are of the same country. And Russia is a multinational country, and in fact, that helped us a lot to be tolerant towards different other nationalities. Because I remember when I was a child, in our block there used to be people of about 7 or 8 nationalities, and we never had any bad feelings about it, that you are, for example, this one is Ukrainian and this one is from Tatarstan, or that one is Jewish, or whatever. It was absolutely normal to accept any different culture and any different nationality.
To conclude, and this time I really will conclude about Russia, I'll tell you about what I hear on the international news right here on Campus FM. We hear, we listen to BBC, and sometimes you hear of Russia as being a bit expansionist, a bit of what happened in Ukraine. Putin sometimes sounds like he's saying, don't mess with us, you know, we are still a superpower. What do the average Russian people think about the United States and Europe, the European Union? Do you see us as the bullies, as the ones who are expansionist and always trying to pick on Russia?
To be honest, I have never heard any bad opinion about Europe from any Russians I know. About America, it's hard to say, because Russia and America have been in a Cold War for a very long period of time. And I know quite a number of people, even, for example, my husband, who is saying that he wouldn't go to America just because he doesn't like the attitude and mentality of American people. I have been to America and I loved it, actually. For me, it was a very interesting country to visit. Mm-hmm. Maybe I wouldn't like to live there, but for a visit, it was fantastic. But with regards to European nations, no. From the side of Russian people, there is no bad emotions about European.
I am speaking to Anastasia Lesnikova from Moscow, Russia, who's been in Malta for 15 years. We're recording this program in December 2015, around Christmas time, and like most people I know at the moment, we both have a bit of a cold, so please excuse the slightly muffled voices. And we're on the program in Ainein Barani. We've spoken a lot about Anastasia's past, Russia, Moscow, and now, Anastasia, I want you to tell me about why you came to Malta.
In 1998, in Russia, there was an economical crisis. For my husband and myself, it was the time when we just finished university, we were looking for a job, we started our career, and then we had big troubles because of this economical situation. And we started thinking that maybe for some years we can go for a work experience somewhere abroad. At that time, there was a program of professional immigration to Canada, where the engineers were very welcome, and we applied for such a program. However, while going to the first interview at the Canadian embassy, my husband was recommended to study English more, to be fluent in the conversation.
Can I just interrupt you there to ask, did you learn English at school in Russia?
Yes, we learned English at school, but in my opinion, at that time, especially at the Soviet Union time, it was not enough hours to learn it well. So many people were taking private lessons or went to special courses, because just to go after school, you wouldn't speak English, you wouldn't even understand what is the conversation about.
So your husband, it was recommended that he learn English more before he reapplied for this program in Canada?
Yes, actually it was just a recommendation that he can be fluent during the conversation. And we saw an advert, we started looking for good English courses abroad, and we saw an advert about courses of English in Malta. So that was our first idea to come over here.
Had you heard of Malta at all before that? Any mention of Malta at all?
For myself, I knew about Malta very well because my father used to be a pilot at Aeroflot. And for many years in the Soviet time, a lot of flights to Africa were done through Malta. So the Russian pilots, they were staying in Malta for a few days, having some rest, and then they were continuing to Luanda, or any other parts of Africa, islands, and so far. So from my father, I heard about Malta some interesting things because he liked it a lot. However, when he first time came to Malta, when I was already here, he was surprised how it changed for the last 25, 30 years.
Of course. Big changes. So you already knew a little bit about Malta. You saw the advert and you decided to apply.
Yes, it was actually, the offer was very good comparing to the offers in the UK. Price-wise, and at the same time we thought that weather will be much more nicer. So my husband booked an English course and he came to Malta to study English.
And what was the first impression when he and you, I suppose you visited him when he came to study English, what was the very first impression when you came off the plane here in Malta?
To be honest, I don't remember my impression when I came off the plane because I was very excited to see my husband after some time missing him. But I remember it was very funny when my husband arrived to Malta. It was the night between Friday and Saturday. So Saturday he stayed in bed till late, and then he woke up around noon. And he went out to start to look for some shops to buy some food. And he called me being very amazed. And he said, look, everything is closed. And people are saying that till Monday I won't find anything. I won't find any shops, any supermarkets open. He was really shocked because for us at that time, in Moscow, the life was going 24/7. So, for example, if you want to buy a coat at night, you just open the door, go to the nearest shop, and you buy whatever you want. If you want to buy a car, a phone, clothes, or whatsoever.
So that was a big difference, my goodness. And he ended up doing a course for a year, and that's how you ended up coming here. And then eventually you made the decision to stay in Malta. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, it was actually, he extended his course several times, and then he decided to get a Cambridge certificate. So he wanted to prolong his stay in Malta for several months more, and we decided that it would be better if I stay with him, because otherwise it would be too complicated to live in two different countries. And like that, I came to Malta to support him, and once, when he was still studying, I saw an advert in the Times of Malta, which was describing a job opportunity, which was exactly what my husband used to do in Moscow. And I asked him whether he would like to try maybe to go to an interview and to see whether they will be interested. And he went to the interview, and he was offered a job, and he's still working there for all these years.
15 years later.
Yes. Happily. And actually, for us, it was also very funny, because when I saw the address of this
company,
I realized that it's on the same street where we used to rent an apartment. It was in Tashbish. And for my husband, that was one of the main points why to go there for a job. Because in Russia, in Moscow, big distances, it's one of the main problem in the big city, because we used to spend about 1.5 hours to get to work every day, just one direction. And he said, look, after these trips in Moscow, for me to work on the same street where I live, it is real happiness.
So you decided to stay in Malta. Were there a lot of other Russians in Malta at the time? Was there a Russian community in Malta already?
To be honest, I think that at that period of time, around 2000, 1999, it was not such a big community, and actually we didn't communicate well with any other Russian people. We had a few friends, but we really wanted to integrate well in the community, and we had many Maltese friends and many friends from any other countries, so we didn't concentrate on looking for only Russians. And it was good for us, because we were so interested in the local traditions. We were invited to the weddings, we were invited to the family dinners, and we really enjoyed it. For us, it was a very interesting period in life.
How did you make so many Maltese friends? Was it through your jobs? I mean, I assume eventually you got a job as well, so...
Yes, actually we were lucky, because both of us, we worked in big companies, and we had, of course, we had many friends through the companies, and we enjoyed it.
And you were made to feel welcome straight away by your Maltese friends?
Actually, yes, because I remember myself when I worked at a tourism agency at SMS for several years, and I had very, very nice feeling. I had very good welcome from my colleagues from the first day, because they really did the best for me to settle. Even sometimes it was not easy to communicate, because we were trying to understand each other, you know, so sometimes my accent made it very hard for them to understand me. But still, I still have some very good contacts, and I'm very happy that I had this chance to work in a big company.
Qed jintisimgħu il-programm Minajnejn Barranin fuq Campus FM li jixxandar kull nhar tat-tlieta fit-tminja ta' filgħaxija b'repetizzjoni l-ħamis fl-10 ta' filgħodu, kif ukoll jitstab fuq is-sit elettroniku ta' Campus FM.
Anastasia, the average Russian person, what do they know about Malta, or are they aware that Malta even exists from your experience?
Of course, one of the very famous period of history in Malta is the period of Hospitallers, and since Russia was during this period of time as well connected with Malta in a way of...
I believe the Russian Tsar was offered the Grand Mastership of the Order at one point, around the time when they were leaving Malta, I think it was, yes?
Yes, exactly. Pavel offered support from the side of Russia, and this part of history is so famous that people usually associate Malta with Hospitallers, with Maltese knights. That is one of the easiest association people have.
Yes. Would it be taught in schools in history lessons?
Not necessarily. It's not actually. It's being taught at schools, but in a very short notice. But people are getting so interested in this type of stories about knights. You know, so they try to learn more, and we have many nice books about this period of time. So.
But in general, would, for example, a Russian person deciding to go on holiday, would Malta be one of the top on the list, or would people come to hear of it or think of it further down after some of the bigger countries?
It's hard to compare, because I'm hearing, especially working in tourism industry, I'm hearing different opinion from my colleagues from the agencies in Russia. But Malta is definitely always interesting for the Russian tourists because of the very unique sea, because of interesting history and culture, you know. And I think it's very important to present Malta more like a destination for excursions, for a very, very interesting historical point.
As somebody who works in the tourism industry, Turkey is used to be a place for Russians to go on holiday, very much the Black Sea. But at the moment, there's some tension with Turkey. So maybe more Russian tourists will choose Malta instead of some of their traditional holiday places?
That is actually the expectation for 2016, that instead of Turkey and Egypt, people would go to Malta more. But in my opinion, to be honest with you, my experience in tourism shows that for a tourist who prefers to go to Turkey, most probably Malta will not be the right place, because people go to Turkey for something else. They go for more passive holiday, you know, just to lay down on
the beach.
On the beach, yeah. and have all inclusive and just eat, drink and swim. But for Malta, it would be a waste of time to do something like that, because over here you need to see so many interesting things. You have to be an active tourist to enjoy it in full. And I'm sure that from Russia, there are very many people who are such active tourists who would like to come here.
But to conclude on this point, when you do visit Moscow sometimes and you meet somebody new and they tell you, so where are you living? Where do you live? And you say, oh, I'm living in Malta. I've been there 15 years. In general, would people say, ah, yes, Malta? Or would it be Malta? Where is Malta?
No. I think nowadays everyone knows what it is, where it is, you know. So it's just I remember when I left Moscow and I went to Malta during the first 6 months when I visited my ex-colleagues. They were telling me, like, Malta, just it's an island of rocks. What is there apart from rocks? Palms, maybe, or something else? I told them, no, it's... And I was showing them photos and videos and explaining. But nowadays, when I mention Malta, everybody knows what it... And actually, majority of my friends, they would comment, oh, I have been there. I didn't know you live in Malta, and otherwise I would visit you. Because, you know, so... It's popular.
What about Maltese? Did you pick up the Maltese language over the years?
Actually, with Maltese language, for me, it's very, very big problem, because, of course, I know quite a number of words, but to speak normally and to understand all the conversation, I went to a private lessons, and unfortunately, I had to stop at verbs, because at this stage, I understood that I need more time, because it's very, very complicated part. Because with the nouns, it's okay. I still try to learn new words, maybe not every day, but every week. But with the verbs, it's the grammar, Maltese grammar is very, very hard.
But it's okay for you because English is widely spoken here. It is another national language, so you manage to communicate fine just using English.
Yes, I think that is one of the reasons why foreigners are getting a bit lazy about learning Maltese, because you achieve a level when you speak a bit of a mixture of Maltese words and English words, but nobody is forced to speak Maltese fluently. And another thing which I realized when we came to Malta, that people really try to understand you, even if it is hard for them. They do the best, even if you ask for a direction at the street or you are at the shop. The attitude of Maltese is always that they want to understand you, they want to follow it, they want to help.
And the fact that you don't know Maltese, do you feel that being a foreign person in Malta, that you have ever perhaps been discriminated against, or that maybe they took advantage of you because you couldn't communicate properly with them, or has it been a good experience?
I would say that I think in certain professions, the attitude towards foreigners is not very good all around the world. Like, for example, sometimes taxi drivers, they take an advantage, mm-hmm. especially if they think that you're just here for a week mm-hmm. and you don't know the rates and you don't know the distances. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they do it, but I think it's absolutely normal. It's not something offensive, but otherwise it's... No, all around speaking English, I was always understood well, and mm-hmm. people in a group of people, if they realize that I don't speak Maltese, they turn to English, so I would be welcome, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I would understand what is the conversation about.
Has anybody ever said something that offended you because you are Russian? Did they make certain assumptions about Russian people? Do you ever encounter any sort of nasty language or discrimination in that way?
No, not really. The only thing which is a bit funny, but sometimes it makes us Russians to be a bit offended, it's the general theory that Russian people drink too much, you know, so everybody is trying to suggest it, and sometimes it's amazing. Like once I gave the interview to one of the magazines when I was 8 or 9 months pregnant, and I was in the interview giving the information about Russian life, culture, food, etc., etc., and then I saw online in the times of Malt, I saw the comments, and Russian people drink too much. And
one of the comments was that.
Yes, I thought that, like, to associate a very pregnant woman, you know, with drinking too much, it would be a bit awkward. You know, even so, I'm Russian. It's not like that.
Well, I'm telling you now that many of the comments in the national newspapers online are famous for their stupidity. So I wouldn't really put much stock in the kind of stuff you see written there. We make big jokes about them. I don't know what you have. Russian jokes and Russian humor is quite well known as having a particular style. And here in Malta, one of the things at least the educated people laugh about is the stupidity of comments in local newspapers. Do you get that sort of thing too in Russia? I mean,
yes, absolutely. Of course. It's all around. It's just, I know that majority of people, I was surprised that Maltese know about Russia so much, because a lot of my friends, they were even speaking to me about literature, about art, about culture, about music. So these are things which I would love Russia to be associated with, you know, not drinking and bullying and things like that, because of course you want to make a good impression of your country, not bad.
Possibly because Malta went through a socialist period, a democratic socialist period in the 70s and 80s, and there was a lot of British and American influence, but there was also a little bit of Russian influence, the occasional Soviet documentary on television, and even in the arts, there was a Soviet cultural center here, they would have Russian plays, so there would have been a little bit of that trickling into the local consciousness, and as well, there are plenty of Maltese who read, and they're open to international news. So yes, that makes me happy to learn that you were pleasantly surprised by the amount of Maltese people who have an open mind and know about Russia. Now, you mentioned food. Tell us a little bit about Russian food, and then you can go on to talk about how you adapted to the food here in Malta.
Actually, to adapt to food in Malta, it was very easy, because food in Malta is very, very good. Plenty of fresh fish, fruits and vegetables. I think that makes a perfect choice, like, you know, your perfect diet.
What about the pasta and the pastizzi and that kind of stuff?
That is something very, very tasty, but something you have to be careful with, because... But we have different type of food, I think, because it is somehow connected with the climate. Because when there is a cold winter, people tend to eat more fatty things, more oily things, you know, which make you feel a bit warmer. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we don't have such a choice of fresh vegetables and fruits. because they grow in Russia only for a short period of time, okay. Maybe 3-4 months, not mm-hmm. all around the year like here in Malta.
So in Russia, a lot of soups, potato dishes.
Yes, big choice of hot dishes, actually. It's very popular.
Hot as in spicy or hot like hot soup because of the cold winter?
Yes, hot soup because of the cold winter.
While here in Malta, fencata, Maltese foods, have you learned perhaps in 15 years how to prepare that kind of food? Or?
No, of course, I'm very interested in cooking Maltese dishes. I can't say that I'm perfect in them, but I'm always trying to do something. For example, only in Malta I learned how to cook rabbit, because before I don't say that in Russia people don't eat rabbits, they eat. But rabbit is considered to be more like a meat for children, because it's very healthy, it's very good for nutrition. But over here, for us, it's something very, very nice to cook for all the family.
I'm speaking to Anastasia Lesnikova from Moscow, Russia, who has been living in Malta with her husband for the last 15 years. Anastasia, we talked about how when you first got here and you started living here and you were made to feel welcome by your work colleagues. How have the last 15 years been? How has life developed in those 15 years in Malta?
Yes, definitely I feel comfortable living in Malta. That is why we are staying here, because for us, one of the main priority when we came to Malta was safety, and I still consider Malta to be very safe. Of course, it's not as safe as it used to be 15 years ago, because for us living in Telebrac, we see the difference in our town, how these bad changes unfortunately occur.
You mean a rise in the crime rate, more burglaries?
Yes, absolutely, because it used to be so safe that we didn't even bother to lock the doors. But nowadays it's totally different. Seeing the development of the island, I think that life becomes here much more interesting and more opportunities for people, and Malta looks much, much more better with every year. The only thing which for me, it's a bit of a pity, is that sometimes I see that with this construction works, sometimes Malta loses a bit of its identity, because sometimes it's such a pity when a nice old house is broken and a modern block of apartments mm-hmm. is built on top of it, you know. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes, you've been talking that about how interested you are in Maltese traditions and Maltese identity. What are the things about Malta that fascinate you?
I think one of the main interesting points in Maltese culture is the tolerance towards different nations, different cultures, and the real interest what Maltese people have towards anything different from their own life and culture. That fascinates me a lot.
Is that, do you think, coming from our history?
I'm pretty sure that all these years when Malta experienced different nations living here, it created such a interesting mixture in life and culture, language, mm-hmm. traditions.
The festi, perhaps, I don't know, the boat racing on one of the national, two of the national days.
What I like here very, very much is Maltese Carnival, because I have been to the carnival in Malta and in Gozo, and it's so amazing. It's very, in my opinion, it's very interesting tradition. But for me, the most favorite time in Malta is Christmas time and Easter time, because it's, I think, all the traditions how to celebrate these two periods of time are amazing in Malta. It's beautiful. Easter processions in Gozo, for me, it's something amazing. And I think that is a very special identity of Malta and Gozo, which needs to be kept for future generations, because mm-hmm. that is something unique in the world, I think.
Of course, Russian Christmas is slightly different to the Maltese and Western Christmas, isn't it?
I would say for myself, being a child of Soviet Union, mm-hmm. we didn't celebrate Christmas as such, because for us much more interesting it was to celebrate New Year's Eve. Right. It was one of the main celebrations mm-hmm. here. It's still very nice, and people decorate homes, and so recently I have been to Moscow, and it was very nicely decorated, mm-hmm. all the city around. Christmas, which is being the Orthodox Christmas, is celebrated on the 7th of January. Mm-hmm. Now it's a very popular feast for Russian people as well.
Yes. And there's something called Russian New Year, isn't it, which isn't actually on the 1st of January?
No, it's a funny tradition, because we celebrate, of course, we have the same date for the New Year, seems like all the world.
Yes.
But we also celebrate, we are calling it Old New Year, because in the old calendar, before change, it was the night between 13th and 14th of January.
Okay.
So, and actually, I think it's quite a normal for Russians to use different reasons to celebrate more and more.
And Easter, is Easter in the Orthodox tradition similar to the Catholic one?
Traditions are similar, it's just the date varies, because sometimes we have it on the same date, sometimes it's a couple of weeks later, but more or less all the way of celebrating it is very, very similar. I have never seen any processions similar to Maltese ones in Russia. We just have something different.
But you attend church and you have services. You paint eggs for Easter in Russia, don't you? Which is something we don't do here. We eat chocolate Easter eggs instead.
Yes, painting eggs, it's one of the main traditions. It's actually, again, after Soviet Union, to celebrate Easter, it was more more connected with remembering the relatives who passed away, because it was connected to visiting cemeteries, you know, so people were trying to do it during the Easter period of time. That was at least how I remember it in my childhood. Of course, now with the years, it changes a lot.
Since you came to Malta in 2000 and settled here, I think the amount of Russian people in Malta, the Russian community has grown quite substantially, whether it's through Russian people marrying Maltese or people coming here to work. Has the community grown, and have you been connected to it? Have you kept in touch with the new Russian people coming to Malta?
Yes, in my opinion, the community has grown for the last 5 years. Actually, right now, I would say that maybe in Malta it's around 6,000 to 7,000 Russian-speaking people.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily from Russia, because we have a lot of people coming from Baltic states who as well are by their origin, they're Russians, but they are EU citizens. We have a lot of Ukrainians, people from Kazakhstan, Armenia.
Mm-hmm.
The community over here, it's right now we try to do some events which might help us to keep the culture, and which might help us to show to Maltese people our origin, you know, our origin and culture, as I was mentioning, to break the bad stereotypes. We want to show something nice. So several years ago, we created a voluntary organization which would be in charge of different activities of the Russian-speaking community. And actually organizing such events, especially for young people, for children, for us it's one of the very important line what we are doing.
You mentioned stereotypes. Like every country, Malta has its certain number of people who tend to use stereotypes. In the case of people from Eastern Europe, sometimes some people just put everybody in the same basket and say Russi. whether they're Romanian, whether they're Russian, or whether they're Hungarian. And even more than that, sometimes there are assumptions as well, especially about Russian women, which are very distasteful. But nevertheless, you sometimes hear those kind of words being used. How offensive is it to somebody like you, and how hurtful is it?
No, unfortunately, I have experienced it, especially when I came to Malta. I think, of course, there was a certain background, especially after the 90s. There was a number of women who came to Malta just for a better life. And when, for example, a marriage happens because of such reason, it will not be a happy marriage mm-hmm. in the end of the day. And I think that is why there used to be such comments. Nowadays I'm seeing the situation differently because I'm doing official translations, and very often I see the couples who are planning to get married. Mm-hmm. And I see that people really have nice relation. It's obvious, you know, so girls are not getting married for a Maltese passport. Okay. They're getting married to a person
because
who they
like
yes, mm-hmm. exactly. So, and then when they have children, they try to give a child a culture from both sides. And I'm seeing very many families who come to our events as well, and also they try to introduce a language to a child. They try to introduce different traditions. So I think with the time, this bad stereotype of Russian women will disappear, because just experience will show that mostly, like, the situation is different.
Could you tell us a little bit about the things you dislike about Malta?
No, in my opinion, there is only one very, very hard thing in Malta. It's the bureaucracy with processing documents of third country nationals, because at the moment it's such a disaster, it's such a bad experience. What makes people really, what puts people in a very bad situation, because sometimes, of course, we, being the residents of the country, we are interested to keep the country as safe as possible, and of course there is a certain level of security that all the documents have to be checked and processed in a way. But sometimes the bureaucracy goes to such a level when you cannot even think about some common sense. Like, for example, my children being 3 and 1 year old, for me it takes every year to about 6 to 8 months just to extend their ID card. And this extension, I mean, thinking of a child of 3 years old, what would you imagine to check during 6 months? Like,
yes, you know? What kind of security threat do they pose?
Yes, and sometimes it's, I think it's just some gaps in the system, how it works. Mm-hmm. I think at the moment they're trying to improve it, but unfortunately this improvement is very, very slow.
And do you find that there are broken promises, that you have to spend a long time in queues?
Yes, that is one of the big problems as well. And very often, like, for example, from the side of the Russian community, we try to contact Identity Malta and offer our possible support, like, for example, even information support, because we were saying that if you have a system of regulations, let us give it to the Russian-speaking community, so people will not call you, for example, with the same question mm-hmm. 10 times per day,
yes.
But they will have this information on the website or on our network pages.
Yes.
But unfortunately, our resources so far nobody wants to use from from
yes.
this system. But I hope that with the time maybe we can make some help, you know, from the side of community as well.
What about the things you absolutely love about Malta? You've mentioned quite a few during the program, but perhaps there are some others.
What I love about Malta, it's not just about country, it's about Maltese people. I think the wish to help, if they see someone in trouble, they really try to help, because I have been several situations when I needed help from strangers. For example, I got lost or something happens, and I'm seeing support straight away, immediately, and for me it was amazing, because I wasn't expecting such an attitude towards foreigners, towards strangers. I think it's unique for Maltese culture. It's very unique, and I hope it will be kept for future as well.
Would you ever consider switching your identity to Maltese from Russian, as in what it says on your passport?
That is a very hard question, to be honest with you, because in a way, with children, I'm thinking about their future, and I'm thinking that for them it might be much more better to be European citizens, but at the same time, I wouldn't like them to lose Russian origin as well, you know.
Yes, so Russian heritage.
Yes, so in this case, I don't know what might happen in the future. I see my children feel very happy in Malta. My daughter started school, and in kinder one, she feels perfect. She has Maltese friends. She already speaks some Maltese. After a few months, and it's fine, and I'm seeing the attitude of school teachers very, very good, and they are very, very tolerant and very supportive. And I wish my children to study here, because I think that like that it's not only about knowledge, because going to school, it's about making a character of a child, you know, about general education of life, you know, so I think in Malta it's on a very good level.
You've spent a substantial amount of years of your life in Malta and your formative years in Russia. Would you ever say that you felt Maltese? Do you feel Maltese, or at least a part of you by now? Or will you always be a Russian in Malta, do you think?
Actually, after these years, in my soul, I think I have both cultures at the moment, because I'm going to Moscow quite often, and I still keep all my feelings towards Russia. But at the same time, Malta has been my home for all this period of time, and very nice home, I can say. And I miss Malta when I go for a long period of time. After a couple of weeks, I start missing Malta a lot. And when I come back to Malta, I'm always very happy, you know. So it's just a nice home feeling here.
Anastasia Lesnikova, thank you very much for being on the program Milajnén Baranin on Campus FM.
Thank you. For me, it was a pleasure.
U dik kienet edizzjoni oħra tal-programm Minajnejn Barranin, fejn jiena kol il-fitz niltaqgħu niddiskuti it-tajjeb u dak li hu inqas tajjeb f'pajjiżna, ma' diversi persuni ta' nazzjonalitajiet differenti li għal xi raġuni jew oħra għamlu lil Malta id-dar tagħhom. Il-programm jixxandar kull nhar ta' tlieta fit-tmienja ta' filgħaxija b'repetizzjoni l-ħamis fl-10 ta' filgħodu, kif ukoll tistgħu issibuh fuq is-sit elettroniku ta' Campus FM.